Kia ora, this is Lorna Johnson and you're listening to Making Palmy Home. And my guest this morning is Volker Schröter from Germany. So good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Lorna. I am fine, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
That's good. It's really kind of you to offer to come in. So Volker is a volunteer. I usually have to twist people's arms, but he was keen to come. So we're going to talk a little bit about his journey to Palmerston North, which was many years ago now, wasn't it?
28 years ago,
wow. So that's be interesting to compare what it was like when you first arrived compared to how things are now. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Palmerston North at the moment.
I am working as a teacher at Palmerston North Girls High School. I'm a mathematics teacher.
Oh, really?
Yes, I know mathematics divides the world into those who love it, me, yep. And those who hate it, yeah.
Yeah, it does seem to be one of those things. And I think as a parent, certainly, we find that maths has changed quite a lot over the years, so that maybe the maths that we knew or were taught doesn't seem to be today's maths. So.
It certainly has changed, yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been at Girls High?
For 8 years now.
8 years? Yeah. Okay, that's cool. But so you've been in Palmerston North a long time. Have you seen many changes in that time?
Oh, yes, I saw a lot of changes. Jokingly, I can say, when I came here in 1993, at 6 o'clock in the evening, the sidewalks would be folded up and everything was closed. And now look at it now, you know. So lots of changes have happened.
Okay. Yeah. So if you think back to that time, what was it like arriving in Palmerston North in those years? Did you come on your own?
No, I came with my family, my wife and 4 little children.
Right.
They were all born in Germany. So when we arrived here, it was like a time travel. we traveled back in time in an absolute positive way. We were quite surprised, you know, to experience the life as it was then here. And we liked it instantly. So that's the one reason why I'm still here.
Yes, that's good. Was it what you were expecting? Had you done some research beforehand or had people told you what it would be like here?
Well, I hadn't done any research, not in the true sense, but of course I informed myself about New Zealand. We had visited New Zealand in 1990, did an extended holiday here for 6 weeks, and we had an idea, actually a good impression of what New Zealand would be like. However, if you are here as a tourist, you see the world through a different lens.
Yes,
everything was fantastic. And also everything seemed so similar to home, to Europe. And when we finally settled here, we started to realize that there are so many subtle differences. If you put them all together, it's actually a big cultural shift.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more, certainly from my own experience, that I think I certainly, coming from the UK, was under the impression that New Zealand would not be that different. But as you say, there are lots of differences, and perhaps it does take a little time of living here to really appreciate what they are. So what was the motivation then to come and live in New Zealand? Big upheaval for the family, travelling all the way from Germany?
Yeah, that's the question that I have been asked most often.
Yeah.
So I have an answer already. it's the green environment, the green image. Green image means the environment, the space, the low population density. I mean, not talking about Auckland here.
No.
And the relative security internally and also across the border. We are so isolated here that I feel quite safe. And as far as domestic life goes, it is we have low crime rate. It is safe. It feels safe. Whereas back in Germany, just a few years before we came here, there was a war in the Balkans. That was too close to home. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think I was living in the UK at that time, and I think we were very shocked to have a war on our own doorstep, really, in Europe, and certainly did give us all pause for thought, really.
Yeah.
And I think that concept of being safe and secure in New Zealand is perhaps something that migrants are more aware of than, say, people who are born in New Zealand, who perhaps take it for granted, I think.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I think, too, because... over the years, over the decades, I can say, I've met many people, many Kiwis, and also got a glimpse at, you know, their families. So many young Kiwis want to leave.
Yes.
For a while.
the OE.
They want to get out of here because, for many reasons, but one reason is that, you know, they think there's more excitement out there and there's more money to be earned. And that could both be true. Then I learned that of those who leave, many come back after a while.
Yes.
Yeah. So that speaks for itself, I think.
Yes, I think so. And what do you find is the reaction when you tell people, as you said, you've been asked lots of times, you know, why did you come here? When you tell people, is that something that resonates with them, or do they find that surprising that you find it a safe and secure country? Is, you know, do Kiwis sort of go, oh, is that a revelation to them? Or,
well, I haven't experienced that kind of response. It was more, yeah, we know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right, and yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So, what was that trip like? Presumably you flew? Did you?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Was it a bit of a nightmare with four young children?
It wasn't a nightmare. It would be now. Thinking back, I can only say we were very courageous.
Yes.
And very naive. We just did it.
Yeah.
Without much thinking, with a lot of planning involved, of course, but. Mm. But little did we realize what challenges we would face right from the start here.
Right.
To do the trip is not a big thing. You buy the tickets and you load up your car and off you go.
Yeah.
You know? And then you wait for the container to arrive here. But so that wasn't a big effort.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking forward was what we didn't do. And I should add, it was quite easy for us to get permanent residency at the time, something which is, of course, not happening now as far as I know, and I know it firsthand through my involvement here in the community. This is the story that I tell those who ask. We got our permanent residency stamped into our passports before we arrived in New Zealand, while we were still in Germany.
Okay.
New Zealand had an embassy in Bonn then.
Yeah.
And we applied for residency. We went through the selection process. There was a point system that was applied, just like today, but different criteria or maybe different ratings were applied at that time. We scored high, both of us, my wife and I, and they sent us a letter saying, we are proud to inform you that that your name has been drawn, like as if it was a lottery.
Oh.
But you had to qualify first to get into that. That was my understanding at the time. So from that point onward, we had to send our passports to the embassy. We never made actually face-to-face contact with anybody there. And within 2 weeks, the passports were sent back to us with permanent residency stamped into it. We had no jobs here.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And then we arrived here. We thought, well, if they let us in on those conditions, there must be jobs waiting. All we need to do is select from the many offers that we get.
Oh, I imagine it was wrong.
Oh, my God, yeah. There was nothing happening.
So tell us, what was it like then, those first few weeks and months? Did you come direct to Palmerston North?
No, we didn't. Our first 6 months we spent in Tawa. So we arrived, of course, in Auckland. This is the port of entry. And then we flew right through to Wellington. We selected Wellington because we had such a good experience there in 1990 when we traveled through. And we stayed at the Backpackers Hotel that was up in Cuba Street. I don't think that exists anymore. The building does, but not the operation.
Right.
And we spent a couple of weeks there renting an apartment or a studio of kinds. And then we realized, wow, money is running out quickly, so we need to find a home. We found a house in Tawa. We could rent this. And this is where we moved in.
Right.
And from that time onwards, we looked for jobs.
So how did the job hunt go?
It was very, very frustrating.
Right. Yeah.
So I remember that I sent out about 70 job applications.
70?
70, yeah. Wow. And all, of course, not all at once.
No.
There weren't that many jobs available in the papers. But I applied for that what I'm qualified at only.
Yeah.
And I learned through the weeks that, well, that's not enough. Then I applied for jobs at the fringes of my qualification experience and cast the net wider. And the frustrating experience was at the time that hardly ever did I, nor my wife for that matter, get a reply.
Not even a response.
No response. Yeah, that's right. So there were a few employers who wrote back to us acknowledging receipt of our application, but there were only a few. And nothing happens from there until each one of us had the chance to do an interview.
Right.
And I think I did two job interviews. I can't quite recall how many my wife did. But again, after the job interviews, nothing happened.
So no feedback, nothing at all.
So how did we end up in Palmerston North? Yeah. This is the story of my life. Listen to that. On one Friday, the phone rang. In the meantime, we had an agreement. The one who gets a job offer takes it, and we move wherever the job is.
Yeah.
And so one Friday, the phone rings, and it was for my wife. So she comes back and says, "Guess what? I got a job offer." "Wow," I said. "Well, let's take it. Where is it?" "In Palmerston North." "Palmerston where?" So we took the map. We looked at it. Okay, let's move to Palmerston North.
Right.
Here's the thing. On the same Friday in the afternoon, the phone rings. It's for me.
Oh.
"Yeah, Mr. Schroeder, we like to offer you a job." I go, I think, oh my God. Okay. And much to my embarrassment, I couldn't remember where this employer was located. So I wiggled my way around. My English wasn't as good as it is now, but it was good enough to get out of this little trap. And so I said, "Yes, sir, that's very nice. Thank you. I'm happy. So where shall we meet then?" "Well, you just come to Palmerston North." I go, "Yes, I do that." Now, what do you say to
that?
What
a coincidence.
That's right. That's right.
So of all of those applications that you sent out, the two that were successful came in on the same day in Palmerston North. Well, what are the chances of that?
That's right.
So you packed your bags and came to Palmerston North.
That's right.
Goodness me. Mm. So what an exciting but nerve-wracking start, I suppose.
Yes, that's right. A nerve-wracking start. We started to count the money that we had left because there was financially a point of no return. We had to have enough money to pack up again and fly back to Germany.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were getting close to that,
Oh, good Lord. I can't imagine the sort of stress you must have been under.
It was, quite stressful, yeah.
And how old were the children at this stage?
The oldest was, was 6 years old, and the youngest was 15 months.
Oh, my goodness, right.
We were very close together, the four of them, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you pack up and you come to Palmerston North.
That's what we did.
What was the city like at that stage?
Well, in a general sense, it was like it is now. It covered the same area. It had the same main roads. It wasn't as developed as it is now.
Right.
Anywhere you looked. I mean, the few high-rise buildings, the landmarks were already there.
Were people friendly, welcoming?
Yes, people have always been friendly. They are curious and they are friendly, and they offer help readily. So we had no problems making contacts, and we looked at the time, we looked for some other German immigrants.
Yeah.
That's a story of its own. Germans don't like to meet.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But we found some, and there was a Goethe Society at that time. So we made good and valuable and interesting contacts, out of which we got some friends, and some are still around. And then we started to work, and we learned about the education system here, mm-hmm, very quickly, because the two older ones went to primary school straight away. Course, the six-year-old had just started primary school in Germany, but here, of course, the entry age is 5 years, and suddenly two of them were at school. That was interesting for us to observe how that would develop. The other two went to kindy, and the youngest actually to creche. If there is a difference between kindergarten and creche, I'm not sure actually. I learned that word there, and I was very careful to pronounce it properly. So messy creche. Did I get that right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It's not an English word anyway. I think it's a French word. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll talk some more about that in a minute. We'll just take a little musical break at the moment, and we'll come back in a moment.
A tenement, a dirty street, walked and worn by shooter's feet. Inside it's long and so complete, watched by a shivering sun. Old eyes in a small child's face, watching as the shadows race through walls and cracks and leave no trace, and daylight's brightness shone. Swollen mass on concrete fields where grows no grass, stumbles blindly on. Iron trees smother the air, withering they stand and stare through eyes that neither know nor care where the grass is gone.
Right, so we're back now talking to Volker about his experience coming to Palmerston North 28 years ago. And we were talking a bit about the children starting school and how they had to adapt quite quickly to an English-speaking environment. So tell us how that worked for them. The oldest went straight to school.
Yes, that's right. Our son went straight to primary school. He was 6 years old. He had already started school back in Germany. And then the second oldest, our oldest daughter, she was 5 years old at the time. She also went straight to primary school. And initially they were in the same class or year level. So we were, of course, very, very interested in how they would settle in, and particularly how they would pick up the English language. It took them about 3 months from memory.
3 months, is that all?
3 months to learn English to a level where they could have conversations with their classmates.
Wow.
Yes, that was
That's
most
quite
amazing.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You can't put a price on that. That's that's amazing. And from there on, they learned English, you know, very fast and became fluent at it. I don't know when they eventually had, you know, the same vocabulary as their peers, but it was only shortly thereafter.
Very quickly, yeah.
At home we spoke German only, and we made a point of it. The two younger ones, they developed differently with their language. Our middle daughter already spoke a little bit of German. Not very fluent, and not with a big vocabulary, and she picked up English probably as fast as the other two, the older ones did. The youngest was the most interesting one to observe. She was 15 months old. She had not developed any language yet.
Ah, okay. So she wasn't speaking German.
That's right. She wasn't.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She was not speaking German. Of course, she didn't speak English, and she learned both languages at at the same time, at the same pace. It appeared as if to her it was one language.
Wow.
She just learned to distinguish between the vocabulary that was spoken at home and that which was spoken at the creche or kindy.
Goodness.
Yeah.
That's quite fascinating,
that
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And are they keeping up with their German now? So I guess they're all grown up now, but they...
Yes, they have all grown up. They have their adult lives and their careers, and they are all fluent in German. In all aspects.
See, that's a tremendous skill to be bilingual growing up, I think, is it? And I think there's lots of evidence that shows it really helps with your brain development to have a second language, you know, so to be bilingual growing up. Apart from the extra skill it gives you of having the other language, it's the concept itself is helpful.
Yes, I believe that's true, yeah.
And have you had much opportunity to go back and visit people at home in Germany? Or have you mostly, now you're here, you've sort of stayed here?
There were times when I traveled a lot, I would say, you know, four or five times in a year. Not always to Germany, but overseas.
Yeah.
Later, as my parents grew older, I traveled back to Germany annually once to meet them. And now I have... My stepmother is back in Germany. She, as the only close kin left, and so I like to visit her. But the new development is our oldest daughter lives now in Berlin.
Oh,
yeah, with her husband, and she has two grandchildren, both of which were born there. And I would love to visit them, but I can't.
I know we're all in this. Those of us with relatives overseas are all in this bind at the moment.
So the summary is that initially I traveled a lot.
Yeah.
Then I traveled less, and so that was in the, let's say, early 2000s, and then I traveled more often again in the mid late 2000s to see my parents, and then it ebbed. Again.
Yeah. So have you not had a chance to see the grandchildren?
I saw the older one once.
Yeah, right. I think this is something that a lot of us are having to deal with at the moment with pandemic restrictions.
That's right. The younger one is only 2 years old. Yeah.
No, I certainly had a friend who, as soon as the borders opened with Australia, was straight over to see his granddaughter who had never seen and who was a year old. So, it's a bit tricky. So, you were mentioning before in the break that you have been doing some voluntary work with Network of Skilled Migrants, Manawatu.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So, tell us what you've been doing with them and how you've been able to add a bit of perspective to that work.
I'm involved as a member, and I'm providing some advice, some experience to the, let's call them, the leaders or the executive committee of that organization.
Right.
I unfortunately don't have enough time to take up a role there.
I see.
But wherever I can and whenever I can, I help them. So this is little things that I do. For instance, when there is International Day at the square and NSMM puts up a stall, I will help to provide some equipment such as trestle tables and chairs, which I can source from the school.
So, but I would have thought that your sort of lengthy experience in New Zealand would be quite valuable to newcomers. Do you find that, you know, you've got a lot to draw on, I suppose, whereas somebody who's just recently arrived perhaps doesn't have your experience of how things work here?
I hope that I could give some good advice, and I hope that I could comfort some of the migrants I spoke to. I have a lot of face-to-face conversations with migrants, but I have not yet, I should say, summarized this and presented it in a workshop in the sense of, look, this is my experience and I want to share it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you can learn from it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, I'm sure that they very much appreciate having you, giving them, a bit of hope that I think many migrants go through the experience that both you and I actually went through, where there's a period of time where you're really questioning how things are going to work out.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's good then for new migrants to be able to see that, oh, yeah. Look, Volker got through this, and look at him, he's well settled here now. So I think that does give a bit of hope to people.
Yes, yes. the line I said to several of those I spoke to is, always ask yourself, what do you value here? What is it that made you come here? I ask that myself a lot, particularly in times of crisis. Mm. And then compare it to what you will get should you go back, what you will get where you came from.
Mm, that's great.
And that comparison, I can only speak for myself here, always showed me that I get more here in terms of life, comfort, and those criteria that I valued in the first place than I would get back where I came from.
Mm.
I like to avoid the word home now.
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? When where you're living becomes home. But anyway,
yes, that's right. Yeah,
I think that's a very thoughtful perspective, and one that people will probably find very helpful. So look, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for your insights and your stories this morning. It's been great, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, Lorna. I enjoyed that.
That's interview, great.
Yeah.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and you can catch us on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.